and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., your loyal host and your loyal producer, opening up with none other than Gregory Stafford, doing a theme song that he composed and performed. How's your day going? How is your day going? That's what I want to know. How is it going? Has it been a better day than the previous few days? About the same? Maybe not quite as good. I tell you what, it really pays to be able to bounce back, to be resilient. As I've shared with you before, the days are going to get harder and harder. The weeks are going to get harder and harder. And so it's really going to pay for us to know how to be about the business of bouncing back. And that's something that a lot of people who are really going to be hard-pressed financially to really know how to do, to bounce back, to be resilient. That doesn't necessarily mean that we'll be about the business of acting like nothing wrong is going on in our lives. Doesn't mean that we won't be having pressures, or it doesn't mean that we'll have the pressures but ignore them, pretend that they don't exist. It just means that one way or another, we will be able to get through it. Pressure, and more pressure. Will we be able to remain connected to our Creator? Intimately connected to our Creator. Well, let me share with you some of the reason that we know that this is going to be very, very challenging for many, many people, especially for the poor, for the oppressed, for the needy. Let me start off, though, with some promises made by our president, President Donald Trump, during his inaugural speech, his inaugural address that he made to the nation. And this, the United States of America, is your country. What truly matters is not which party controls our government, but whether our government is controlled by the people. Now, what truly matters is not which party controls our government, but whether our government is controlled by the people. The question here is, what is meant by the people? I guess I should say, who is meant by the people? By saying what matters is whether our government is controlled by the people, did our president mean all peoples, all the citizens of America? And let's, just for simplicity's sake, let's keep it there. Legal citizens. Just to keep it simple, let's not even talk about illegal citizens, etc. Let's not talk about that. I'm not saying that they don't matter, because I believe that even those who are here illegally, you might say, matter. They're important. They count. Their value is just as great as the value of people who are not citizens. Just as human beings, their value is just as great as those who are citizens, American citizens. Their value as human beings. I believe that's the way God sees it. I believe that God sees the people who are not citizens of a given country as being just as important, just as valuable to him as people of a given, as citizens of a given country are. Because we're all humans and we're all populating God's earth. He is responsible for the existence of every one of us. He put into play the reproductive system, process that brings all of us into existence. And he makes it clear that he is not a God of partiality. He told the Israelites that when a foreigner, some people would call them illegal immigrants, some would call them aliens, when a foreigner joins himself to you all, to your group, he let them know you to make sure that they are well cared for. So, but like I said, just to keep it simple, let's just stay with American citizens for the sake of this particular conversation. When he says, when our president said during his inaugural address that what matters is whether our government is controlled by the people, what people was he referring to? Was he referring to all American citizens or only some American citizens? Was he referring to American citizens who are very, very wealthy? Or was he referring to wealthy American citizens and middle-class American citizens and poor American citizens? Did he really mean it when he said, what truly matters is whether our government is controlled by the people? Now, he did go on to say, January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. What people? The people became the rulers of this nation again. What people? He said the forgotten men and women of our country will be forgotten no longer. Everyone is listening to you now. At the center of this movement, this historic movement, he called it, is a crucial conviction that a nation exists to serve its citizens. Americans want great schools for their children, safe neighborhoods for their families, and good jobs for themselves. These are the just and reasonable demands of a righteous public. The rhetoric sounded good. Does the reality match the rhetoric? Okay, well, we're taking a look at what the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities has said about President Trump's proposals for his budget proposal and how it plays out for the poor, the oppressed, and the needy. And we were talking about how basically the center has made it clear that just weeks after enacting very large tax cuts, heavily tilted toward benefiting wealthy households and large corporations, President Trump unveiled his fiscal year 2019 budget, which deeply cuts low-income programs like SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, and we all know how important proper nutrition is for our bodies, for everyone, including the poor, the needy. He didn't stop there. His proposal also proposes deep cuts to Medicaid and housing assistance that help struggling families afford the basics. Interesting. The forgotten men and women of our country will be forgotten no longer. Americans want great schools for their children, safe neighborhoods for their families, and good jobs for themselves. These are the just and reasonable demands of a righteous public. But for too many of our citizens, a different reality exists. Mothers and children trapped in poverty in our inner cities. Crime, gangs, drugs that have stolen too many lives and robbed our country of so much unrealized potential. An education system flush with cash that leaves our young and beautiful students deprived of knowledge. The American carnage stops right here and stops right now, President Trump said during his inaugural address. Does the reality of his proposals match his rhetoric? The center went on to point out that the Trump administration's budget includes a number of proposals that it claims will help struggling, out-of-work people build skills and succeed in the labor market. But on the whole, the proposals in his budget would hurt struggling working families and make it harder for those who need skills to establish a career and get ahead. The center talks about how the president's budget freezes funding for core job training for 2019. Freezes funding for core job training. This is the president who said he wanted to help end the carnage, including the carnage that has to do with people having a difficult time getting good jobs. It calls for deep cuts in future years in the part of the budget that funds job training, child care, and Pell Grants. Pell Grants, helping people pay for their education. An education system, the president said during his inaugural address, flush with cash, but leaves our young and beautiful students deprived of knowledge. And in order to bring that carnage to an end, he's proposing deep cuts to the part of the budget that funds job training and child care and Pell Grants, which helps pay for education. It includes proposals that would make college more expensive and targets working families for cuts in assistance that help them afford the basics. Remember what I've shared with you so many times before. Situations do not create themselves. People create situations. And we're looking down the road, 2020, 2021, 2022, when we will have more and more people struggling to get a good education, struggling to get jobs, struggling to engage in training, job training, that will help them get better paying jobs. These will be the results of President Trump's budget proposals for 2019. His rhetoric and his reality do not match up. The center says that taken together, Trump's proposals will make it significantly harder for people left behind by the economy to move up the economic ladder. The Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act provides funding to states and communities for job training for adults, dislocated workers, who are generally those who have recently lost their jobs due to layoffs, or those who receive or have exhausted unemployment insurance benefits, and young people. He's making cuts to the organization that helps these people. The Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. In addition, funding for job training would likely fall substantially in years after 2019 under President Trump's budget plan. And please notice, it's bad enough that funding for job training would fall. That would be bad enough. But President Trump's proposal almost ensures that not only will funding for job training fall, but funding for job training will fall substantially. That's because the budget calls for sharp cuts in non-defense discretionary funding after 2019. Under the plan, overall funding for non-defense discretionary NDD, non-defense, non-defense discretionary spending programs, non-defense discretionary NDD programs, the funding for these programs in 2028 would be 42% below the 2017 level and 50% below the 2010 level, adjusted for inflation. That job training was targeted for such deep cuts in the administration's base budget, strongly suggests that it would be targeted for deep cuts in future years when the administration likely again calls for drastic reductions in overall funding for NDD programs. Now, here's something that we need to keep in mind. This is so important. President Trump, along with the Republicans in the Senate and the House of Representatives, made sure that they came up with programs, ways to benefit tremendously the wealthy. They figured it out. They applied their minds to coming up with ways to make sure their policies, their budget proposals, tremendously benefited the wealthy. They also used their minds to make sure that they came up with ways to hurt the poor, the oppressed, and the needy. Let me tell you, again, our elected officials know what's going on with the American populace. They know what kinds of policies help the rich. They know what kinds of policies would hurt the rich. They know what kind of policies help the poor and the needy and the needy. And they know what kinds of policies. They know what helps. They know what hurt. Whether you're talking about the poor, the middle class, or the wealthy, they know what helps. They know what hurts. There's no question that our elected officials can come up with policy proposals, budget proposals that help all three groups, the poor, the middle class, and the wealthy. They can come up with policies that hurt all three groups. They can come up with policies that help some and hurt the others. By design. Again, I want to take you back to the 1990s when our president was Bill Clinton, and along with help from Democratic and Republican senators and representatives, our nation was given an economy so strong that the poor were doing much better, the middle class were doing much better, and the wealthy were doing much better. Now, I know some people would say, hey, you got to remember the income gap between the wealthy and the poor really increased during those years. That's true. But as I've said before, if you have one person who starts out with $1 million in his bank account, you have another person who starts out with $100 in the bank account, both of them see a 25% increase in their accounts. Guess what's going to happen? That person who starts out with $1 million in their account and it increases by 25%, their wealth will increase $250,000. So instead of having $1 million, now they have $1,250,000. Whereas the person who starts out with $100 in their account and theirs increases 25%, their wealth is going to increase by $25. So guess what happens here? The person who starts out with $1 million has a 25% increase in benefit. So they go from $1 million to $1,250,000. So let's do it this way. Let's say the one person started with $1 million, had a 25% increase, and that took them up to $1,250,000. their wealth increased $250,000. The other person started out with $100. Their wealth increased 25%, so they now have $125. Well, let's just say the person started out with $1,000. So they start out with $1,000. After 25% increase, they have $1,250. Again, compared to the other person who started out with $1 million, receiving a 25% increase, $1,250,000. You see very clearly how the income gap increased significantly, and I do mean significantly, substantially. But that does not negate the fact that the person who for years only had $1,000 in the bank now has $250 more in the bank. That fact is not negated. And something can be done with that extra $250. How many of you would like to have an extra $250 in your account? Say once a month or once a quarter. An extra $250. Oh, don't get me wrong now. I know that person who starts out with $1 million would love to get an extra $250,000 once a quarter. Oh, man, you're talking an extra $250,000 four times a year? That's, ladies and gentlemen, that's serious money. I mean, who wouldn't want that? You're talking about another, by the end of the year, by the end of those four quarters, another $1 million. Another $1 million. Whereas if the person gets an extra $250,000 for four quarters, they will have gotten an extra $1,000 by the end of those four quarters. Look at the huge difference. An extra $1 million compared to an extra $1,000. That income gap is getting huger. But that does not negate the fact that at the end of the four quarters, the person who started out with $1,000 now has $1,000 more. They are doing better. And so, again, we've had it proven to us that the poor, the middle class, and the wealthy all can do very, very well. We know how to do it. We know how to come up with the budget proposals that make that possible, that make it happen, that make it reality. It is not a matter of whether or not it is possible for it to be done. We know it's possible. The knowledge is there. What's not there is the desire by enough people to get it done. There's no telling how much wealthier the nation would be, how much better off we would be if we had enough politicians of all parties, particularly the major two, who wanted all Americans to do better, to be well off, all. If we had enough politicians, including our president, who wanted that, instead, we have politicians who are making sure that they take their knowledge and use it to benefit the wealthy and to hurt the poor and the middle class. Because the middle class needs Pell Grants, too. The middle class, I know this is something that a lot of us are fully aware of. The middle class is needing more and more help in paying for our education, getting assistance in paying for our education. And instead of giving us more and more help, we have fellow citizens, elected officials, who are taking away more and more help. A Heart of Life. I'll be right back.